I'm talking to Jean Henry, and I'm here in Lisniski. And you live not too far away from here, just up the road, heading towards Lisniski.
Uh-huh.
And what's the place called?
Lisbeloa. Uh-huh.
And that's where you're married now. And what was your maiden name?
My maiden name was Wheeler.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Lisniski.
Oh, did you? Here in the town?
Yes.
And what did your father do?
My father worked with the electricity board.
And was there many of you in the family?
There was 10 of us.
Was there?
5 boys and 5 girls.
My goodness. And where did you come in?
I was the oldest girl and the second in the family.
So, born in 1964, you were born into the Troubles then.
Yes.
I mean, that's when it all kind of, you know, it started soon after with the civil marches and that. So what was your first experience that, you know, the Troubles had started?
Probably was the army being around the country and the checkpoints around the borders and that.
And seeing the soldiers.
And seeing all the soldiers about, and all the police and all of that.
Did you go to the local school?
Yes, I did. I went to Lisniski Primary School and I went to Lisniski High School.
What was it like coming home in a bus with the Catholics and Protestants in the same bus?
I was very lucky in the fact that I lived in between two Catholic families. One next door to us was a Catholic family of 8. 7 girls and 1 boy. And we were very lucky. We had a good relationship with them. And were never really affected by it. Because my parents were very strict that we weren't allowed to get involved in anything or say anything to them or offend anybody.
And that's how you were brought up? In the Church of Ireland?
Yes,
tradition.
Yes.
And the... So your father wasn't... He didn't join any...
No, my father didn't.
Security forces?
No, my father, and he didn't allow us to take any part in the security forces of it. My father originally came from Cavan.
Oh, did he? Uh-huh. What part of Cavan?
I just can't remember exactly, but it was somewhere around Cavan.
Okay. And why did he come to Lisniski? Oh, because of his business,
Yes. Yeah, he got work here, probably, and...
Yeah. And so because... but then you must have felt, you know, that you were Irish coming here to...
Yes, It would never really bothered me. The Troubles never really bothered me very much.
Yeah.
We didn't really, you know, I wasn't really closely involved until latter years.
Now tell me what happened.
Well, in 1977 I married and we moved to Enniskillen. And I had a son and a daughter. And my husband took over a business here in Lisniski, very close to where we are.
Which was the old cotton...
No, this is the old cotton factory.
Yeah.
We were just across the road in a filling station.
Right. And what was your husband's name?
My husband's name was Ivan.
Okay.
And in 1988, we had a bomb.
How do you mean?
Business was bombed.
Blown up,
and we were both in the building. Now, thankfully, I wasn't hurt. Not too badly, but my husband was hurt, just from shrapnel wounds. But I witnessed a policewoman, a very young girl at the time, blown nearly to bits. Well, not, she was able to stand, she lost her eye and was very badly injured.
My goodness. And that all happened one evening or one night or one day?
First of all, we thought it was a break-in. The windows, the glass was all broken in the front. And we got a telephone call from the police to say that there was a break-in. We didn't think anything of it. We assumed it was a break-in. My husband and I attended the scene, accompanied by 2 policemen and this policewoman. And,
but you were actually in the building at the time, did you?
And I was standing, I was in the door. I was very lucky. I stood in the door. I didn't stand outside.
Yeah.
My husband, he accompanied the 2 policemen to view the area, and the policewoman, she was standing in front of me, and she was doing assessment of the area. I've since found out that she was after 29 years, I met her again, and she was doing an assessment of the area, and she was looking for what potentially was dangerous. And just as she seen what was there, just went off in her face.
What was so? What happened? What was it?
It was a booby trap bomb.
Was it?
Uh huh. And luckily, because she was close to it, it just hit her on one side. Didn't kill her. She's still alive, but she lost her eye and was very badly damaged down one side.
And any idea why your shop, your husband and your shop was targeted?
We don't know, but we were told after we my husband and I too, he never was involved in anything, in police, army or anything, but the police around here would have come into the shop to buy things, and we were told after it was because we were serving them.
And so what you know, when you hear a story like that, and mm-hmm. and it becomes almost impossible to know why or to make sense of it. But so this booby trap, mm-hmm. You got no warning?
No.
Did anybody claim responsibility afterwards?
No, they didn't. There was no sort of direct claim of responsibility.
Or was there celebration or cheering or something?
No, there was nothing like that. No, there wasn't. It was just the bomb and that was it. And dealing with the aftermath, and I can still see the girl to this day.
My. Now, did you ever find out who did that? Who actually?
No, I never found out because we didn't want our children to be affected by it, and we just kept a very low profile. And we never really, you know, asked any questions or anything about it. But the girl, the policewoman that I met recently, she told me that she was told it was the IRA. And she had seen the person who did it, but that's all I know.
And was that person local, or was that person
somebody from outside? They weren't from around here, no.
Well, it's extraordinary. And how many? There was quite a lot of explosions in Enniskillen, and was that just a bad particular time?
Just a bad time, yeah, a bad time for everybody.
Hmm. And do you just get on with it and get to
yes,
live it?
I mean, I don't have any grievance towards anybody. You know, maybe they thought what they were doing was right. Who am I to judge? You know, I just, all I wanted to do was get over it and forget about it.
But surely you were, I know it is upsetting, yeah, of course. It must be very hard even talking about this.
It is. It's yeah. Hard.
But I know I appreciate you doing this. It's important that you know. No, it's very good of you to tell me. But so did that? You know, every morning you had to rebuild your business again, and you had to start all over again from scratch. Yeah. And going into work in the morning, then you know,
it was just frightening.
Yeah.
Stuck it out to 2000. Year 2000, and then we decided we'd have to get out of it.
Yeah, and how do you? The year 2000, everything is over, sure.
Uh huh.
But still, you wanted you just couldn't.
We just felt, you know, we could. We'd had enough.
Yeah. Talk to me about the direct aftermath. Did anybody come and support you, help you, counselling, anything?
No. With no help at all.
Was there any financial help?
No.
Support in that sense?
No.
Was there any insurance to rebuild the shop?
Well, we were lucky that the company were called Maxol, that we did the fuel with. You know, I'm sure you know of all these different companies, Maxol and BP and all. They came to us and they said they would rebuild the business if we stayed on. So we said we would try, you know, and battle it and stay on.
Yeah.
And we did. But it just got then that it wasn't worth it, you know, because the children were affected by it and they were afraid. And I suppose I probably was the worst. My husband wasn't as much afraid, but I was.
Of course. And how is... So staying on in a business and trying to uh-huh. cope with it, having support is so important that, you know, were the local community, did people come together?
Oh,
to
yeah, people would have come and, you know, said they were sorry, like, about it, and it shouldn't have happened and that, you know, but they just, you know, there was nothing. My husband was told, he got a telephone call, we weren't allowed to be serving security forces and any more and things like that.
After?
Mm.
So this was a bomb first put there to mm-hmm. because you had, and then a phone call afterwards to tell you you can't continue serving. And did he?
Well, he stayed with it for a wee while, and obviously he took advice and spoke to different, you know, he spoke to the head of the place, and they decided, you know, probably would be best for him to put a notice in the paper and say that we could no longer do it. But it didn't ease anything, you know, just, well, it maybe eased some pressure, but not as much. That's why I can't live in Lisnisgee.
Yeah, so you can't see an end to this at all. I mean, there's people are trying to come together now and mm-hmm.
But you know, yes, I would say, you know, I don't think there's probably only a very low minority of people who still feel like that. Mm. But
was your parents alive at the
my mother was alive,
and so she must have taken it very badly too.
She was very hurt and upset.
Mm.
Because she didn't see any wrong in anybody, and we weren't brought up like that. We weren't allowed when we were young to say that's Catholic or that's Protestant. We weren't allowed to do that.
Mm. And so the business was affected obviously by as well. Mm-hmm.
Financially it was affected. That's probably the biggest reason why we left in 2000.
Yeah. As far as I, is that the first filling
that's
station
the first
on the
is
right?
It's derelict now.
Yeah, I know mm-hmm. the one. Imagine, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was your living? That was your life?
Yeah, that was our livelihood. That was my husband's livelihood. And I was in it with him.
Yeah.
Because I enjoyed it. Like, I mean, I knew everybody here.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It didn't matter to me whether you were black or white or Protestant or Catholic, friend, didn't matter to me. I just treat everybody the same.
But that was a life changer. It was
that was a life changing. Yeah, for me, it was a big.
Did you mistrust people from then on? You know, would you?
I suppose I did for a wee while. You know, till I possibly got over it a wee bit. You know, I probably did feel. You know, I thought, why us? Why me? But you know, then why not us?
Yeah.
You know, maybe. And it could have been worse. My husband could have been killed. I could have been killed. We all could have been killed, the five of us. But we weren't.
And how big or how bad was that bomb at that time? Did it damage?
Oh, it did. It practically demolished one side of the building, you know.
Yeah, you can imagine how... How somebody could let... And when you say it was a booby trap thing, what kind of a device? Could you describe what...
I don't know. The only
told?
Thing is just they said it was a booby trap because there was no warning about it or something. That's what they called it, a booby trap. There was a wee... like it was like a dog kennel at the side of the building where they wheeled in at night an air compressor.
Yeah.
And they put this... The air compressor was sitting inside this wee wooden hut, if you want to call it. And it never was locked.
Yeah.
You know, so they just opened the door and set in whatever it was.
And put a time on it.
Mm-hmm, probably put a time on it.
Yeah. And that police lady, what was her name that got caught?
Alison.
What was her first name, do you know?
Alison.
Oh, sorry, Alison.
Alison.
And what was her surname?
Her surname was Alice. She was Alison Johnston.
Yeah. And so she's lifelong injuries now.
Yeah, well, she lost her left eye, and I don't know about her body now. She didn't lose any other parts, only her eye.
Yeah.
But I met her this year.
Yes. How is she?
And she's in great form. And she said she had no, she had bear no grief either, or no, didn't have any ill feelings with anybody either.
All right, and this explosion was in the 1988.
August 1988.
And that was before the Enniskillen bombing as well, wasn't it? Yeah, so it was continual.
Yeah, it was.
Time of, and from all the other places that were bombed and destroyed, the Rykel's place was blown
up the street, and
and then there was another bomb.
The bank on over at the other end.
Yeah. Why do you think Lisniski was hit so badly?
I don't really know why. Don't know. Suppose it was maybe nearer the border, and probably, I don't know honestly why we got so such a bad time.
Yeah.
You know, and I suppose we weren't the worst really either. You know, there was nobody killed in Lisniski.
But there was quite a lot of explosions, yeah. And I can imagine how something like that, your own family now, have they put it to the back of their minds?
Yeah, put it to the back of their mind.
And if you were to meet the people now who did that, how would you react?
I think, well, I don't know if I would say it to them at all. I think I would just try and not think about it at all. I don't know if I'd want to meet them. I thought at one time I might wonder, ask them why, but now I don't think I would.
Yeah.
Just want to try and forget about it.
I see.
You know, for the sake of my own children, I don't want them to be affected by it, because they live in this area too. They live close to me.
I know, yes.
And they know their granny lived here, and they know where, you know, my mum and dad are both buried up in the churchyard up the road there.
So this is your town, you know? Yeah.
And I don't want to dampen my son and daughter's feelings about it, you know?
Of course. And do you think, though, that, you know, when you think about these people, the IRA, how would you define, I mean, what do you think, can you see any justice to why, for what reason or how, do you think it was sectarian, this fight?
It probably is an element of sectarianism in it, but, you know, both Protestants and Catholic felt, you know, they were right and what everyone did was right, and, you know, I was just the way people lived in that area, I think.
Yeah, and to think your father came up from Cavan, and did your mother, was she also from Cavan?
No, my mother was from Crum, if you ever heard tell of Crum.
Oh, yes, indeed. And what was her maiden name, was she?
Graham.
Yeah. And what year did they come here to listen to you?
Probably 30, 40, probably in the early 50s.
Yeah. And your father, was he electrician? Or
And he worked for NIE.
Yeah. And I see, are you in the post office?
Yeah. Yes.
So what are you doing in the post office? Are you a postmistress?
Yes.
Are you? So you'd know everybody locally, wouldn't you?
And I'm in Lisniski.
Yeah. But surely you want to stay on then.
Oh yeah, I've got over it all, you know, most of it now.
Yeah.
I just try not to look back and think about it, you know, and people all know it here. Like, I mean, everybody knows everybody here, and I know all about everybody.
Yeah.
I just try to forget about it.
And so when you think of, in the beginning, you know, you had the civil rights marches, and you know why you had those, because voting rights and that. Do you think the civil rights marches were a good idea at the time. That there was a little bit of injustice, and so
well
they were trying to put that right.
There probably was some. My father would have always said there was.
Did he know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it, of course, it all got
yes,
more
I think
violent.
It,
yeah.
It spiraled out of control just because there wasn't, you know, there was just young people were dragged into it maybe and just got into it and
yeah,
you know.
During those years,
mm-hmm.
Were you living in fear?
Mm, oh yes, undoubtedly lived in fear. But we had to be brave for her son and daughter. You know, we had to keep going, and we had to pretend. You know, we had to try and tell them that it's not all bad. You know, and just be brave as much as we could.
And when you say that you were living in fear, did your husband, what your husband's first name was?
Ivan.
Yes, did Ivan want to do anything about this? Like, did he want to, you know, kind of join up the security forces and maybe...
No.
The people who did this?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't want to enter anything like that. He's not... He doesn't believe in violence and he didn't like it. And we just tried to keep a low profile and just, you know, keep everything... He had very strong faith. He was a Church of Ireland person and he believed in his church and attended church and that's where he found his peace.
And day after day then, it was just keep your head down, keep going.
Yes.
Don't get involved.
No, don't get involved in anything.
Yeah. That's not a nice way to live either, is it?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. Listen, I know it's our, and thank you so much for your story. I know it's not easy. So earlier on, we were talking about, you know, what happened afterwards, and did you get any counselling mm-hmm. or any help? And you said you didn't. What about? So there was no compensation given at all for
no.
For what happened?
No compensation to us at all.
Whatsoever,
yeah. None whatsoever.
So it just meant
mm-hmm.
getting back into things again.
Getting back in. The mm-hmm. building was rebuilt and that was it. We had to get on with it.
And to get a loan to do that and, you know... Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't take out a loan and at that stage it was Maxall who did it, the company, the petrol company. And then they took it over from us. You know,
and then you had to rent it back from there.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, that's how it worked.
That's how we went with it then.
Yeah.
Because we kind of, you know, my husband sort of thought, you know, this isn't going to be good.
And you thought that she'd be blown up again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe even worse. Ivan was afraid of being shot.
Okay, and then the responsibility of mm-hmm. leaving it to you and mm-hmm. that. Did he really fear for his life?
Oh, very much so. But I mean, what were we to do? At one stage I had thought maybe we should move out, we should move to Scotland or something. I had thought about it and then my mum said to me, you know, why would you move away, Jean? She said, you know, you maybe mightn't be as happy over there.
Mm.
And she says, what about the children, you know, moving them and all, it's not fair to them when they're settled and all here and have their friends.
Mm.
So we didn't. We just stayed.
Yeah.
Battled on. The phone rang at home and I answered it and this voice said, there's a bomb at the filling station. And I said, you must be joking, you know.
How long after?
It probably was about a year and a half. And I said, you know, you must be joking. And I really did think, you know, it was somebody just having a laugh with me, you know, because they knew I was so scared. And I said, you must be joking. And they said, no, you listen, I'm not joking. This is Fermanagh Brigade of the IRA. There's a bomb at the filling station. And your husband will be killed. And I there was a mirror in front of the phone and I could see my face just draining. The children, two small children in the house, and I just put the phone down Tried ringing, no answer. Then we didn't have mobile phones. Tried ringing and ringing, no reply.
Ringing
the work.
Yes.
And couldn't get through. The phone was continuously engaged, and I thought, gosh, there must be something wrong. So rang the police, and I just dialed 999. The policeman said to me, is there anybody in the house with you? And I said, no, just the children here, two small children. And he said, well, look, go and make yourself a cup of tea, he said, and I'll send the car out to your house. And he says, we'll check on the filling station. So I ran and checked the doors were locked and put the children down and made myself a cup of tea. And I said to them, you know, we have to be quiet till the police comes. They kept saying, why? Is Daddy coming? Daddy coming? And I said, no, they're coming first, but Daddy will come after. And the police arrived with me, and there was nothing. Nothing had happened. It was just to scare us.
How scared were you all that time? Well, that time, yes, but scared. In general, all the time.
Most of the time I was afraid, you know, to go out. And the children too. Our oldest, she was about 8 and Stephen was about 4. So she would have been, you know, she knew what was going on, but Stephen didn't really. And to this day, you know, he would say, I don't really remember. But she, Cheryl, would say, I remember some of the things. Cheryl wouldn't want to come here if she could avoid it.
And did you feel a prisoner in your own house?
Yeah, very much so, very much so.
Yeah.